Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 17th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey and I, of course, are both away today at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. Our thanks to the WILL staff, especially Tom Rogers and Jay Pierce, for filling in while we're off playing. Of course, I'll be with you digitally throughout this broadcast to bring you a series of feature stories. We'll concentrate, as we have for the last couple of days, particularly on the Farm Bill. So settle in and enjoy this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. And don't forget to stay with us through the bottom of the hour when we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast with climatologist Steve Hilberg.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to commodity week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 agricultural podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's take a look at how things wrapped up on the Kansas City wheat pit. We saw the December contract up 3.75 at the close at 5.15 1/4. December wheat in Chicago at 4.74, up 5 1/4. March at 494, up 5. December corn at 355 1/4, up 3 3/4. March at 370 1/2, up 4 1/2. May at 373 1/2, up 2 1/4. And July 07 at 376, up 3. January soybeans closed 4 higher at 660 1/2. March 4 higher at 672 3/4. May at 682, up 4 1/4. November 07, 3 3/4 higher at the close at 699 1/2. Soybean meal for December, 190.40, up 40. The oil contract for December down 5 at 28.28. January feeder cattle up 17 1/2 on the day at 98.37 1/2 at the close. And December live, 87.57 1/2, down 55. February down 52 1/2 to 90.22 1/2. And December lean hog 61.25, down 80. Oil flirted down at that $55 a barrel range again, 55.08 for the low today, close to 55.90, down 36 cents. That was the December contract. The January crude contract closed up 38 cents at 58.95. And let's talk about the numbers with Mike Zuzulo from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, Lafayette, Indiana. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Jay.
Well, we had a day that you predicted this morning wouldn't be as slow as some others had thought, and we did see some activity.
Well, the hedge fund industry was and Wall Street was on edge all day long today, Jay, and it's starting to unwind itself. There was rumors out there that the $12 billion Chicago hedge fund Citadel Investment Group had some significant problems and were unwinding energy positions, and that there was a flight to quality to the bond market. That's why bonds were up and the Dow was down. And then we also had heard from one of our contacts in Chicago that Citadel also had a lot of long positions through possibly Morgan Stanley in the corn pits as well. None of that has been proven at this point. And, in fact, the Wall Street Journal came out about an hour ago with a report that said that these rumors are unfounded based upon people they've talked to at Citadel. But that was really the market maker today and the market mover today was that the they were worried that another Amaranth had happened and that there was going to be spillover in the grain pits. But I think the word of the day today on the close was we saw the wheat recover, and along with the hedge fund news coming out as maybe not true, gave the corn the ability to go up to, you know, a better price and a better close and represent better some of the fundamental issues that are going on in the corn.
Okay, so an assessment of where I stand as a producer today, what am I going to do with this information?
Really no difference than this morning. One thing you can say is that the Dease corn, the Dease 06, has been able to close back up above the 10-day moving average. It's back up above its support trend line, that both of those that closed below yesterday. And wheat led the way, and all those things are very healthy. The bull spreads were also very active in corn, and that was very healthy. And so you've got an issue that if you were on the fence to sell some corn today, you probably would want to go ahead, in our opinion, and wait until early next week and see what the export inspections are on Monday and see if those don't come out very, very good. I think in the beans, though, you have to go back and look at the technicals. I had a really good conversation with our EFG guys up there late session today, and then ask them a very blunt and basic question. In your opinion, in Chicago Trade opinion, what psychology is running the market? And they said 30% technical, 70% fundamental driven. If that's the case, then the fundamentals of the corn going higher and the beans following are still a good thing to look at. The biodiesel argument's probably getting a little worn out, and the technicals don't look so good. So if I were on the fence as a producer as far as to go ahead and let some more beans go, I would not do what we recommended in the corn. We'd go ahead and make some more sales here with this up market going into the weekend, and realize that we're still below the 10-day moving average in beans. We're still below the uptrending support line in the beans, and we also have not seen January beans go down to where the November expired. And that's something that really is very important and needs to be done and get cleaned up kind of from a chart perspective.
Mm-hmm. Is there any psychology with the shortened week coming up next week?
Yeah, you know, typically the friends that we have and colleagues we have up at Chicago will be heading out on Wednesday morning. And, you know, they'll be gone Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I think that's part of the reason why we went contrarian and went a little bit against the trend today. In terms of a mediocre or light volume day, we would suspect that next week will be extremely active, very, very active week next week, mainly because of the stock market rally and mainly because the fund-driven trade is really trying to window dress and make their numbers look very, very good. The hedge fund industry as a whole, based upon the stuff we look at, has gotten hit with some bad publicity here the last few months, and they really want to clean that up, especially as they get ready to show their investors what they did at the end of the quarter and at the end of the year. So we suspect next week will be very, very active. One other thing that's very key that many producers probably don't realize is that the option expiration in December corn, December meal, and December wheat, or in bean oil for that matter, all the December options will expire on Tuesday before Thanksgiving, not Friday after Thanksgiving, like many people had thought earlier this month. And what has traditionally been the expiration, they're moving that up ahead of Thanksgiving, and this will be the first year that we've seen that. So that will also make it very volatile and very active, we think, too.
Yeah, so what kind of strategy would you recommend on that?
Well, obviously, if you have Dease options, and especially if you have Dease calls, you know, Dease long calls in position, you're straddling this fence here technically where you've gotten support back in the corn, the bean oil, especially you'll want to roll those to Marches. If you're looking at December wheat calls, I doubt very seriously if they have a lot of value left in them because the wheat did end up closing down for the week by a pretty good amount. I think Dease wheat was down about 6 cents on the week. So the Dease options have probably had a lot of their time decay already sucked out of them, and so there's probably not much to do there.
Mm-hmm. What about in the livestock side of things today?
We had a cattle on feed report. Looked to first glance for us, it looked pretty friendly for feeders because the placements came in below estimates at 87%, but it was not a good day for the fat cattle. Marketings were at 102%. That was 1 point below the lowest estimate. So in our mindset, you add that to the fact that the weekly kill by USDA's report this afternoon was almost 10% higher than a year ago. The fat cattle look like they're going to have a little bit of difficulty as we start the week next week. The feeders look like they're going to have a little bit of hope to them. But again, the feeders have been trading a lot of the corn market as well. As far as the hogs go, a quick word on those. It's been a real, real interesting week where the packers have stayed away from the market and have not bought. There's late word today that some of the packers, especially in Illinois and Indiana, are a little bit short bought. We would support that mindset because this is typically a time of next 2, next 3 weeks, they'll really start to buy hogs for the winter seasonal and the demand that you see around that Christmas and New Year holiday.
Mike, as always, thanks a lot for your help today, and I know you have a big family weekend coming up.
Jay, you have a nice weekend, and thanks for everything.
All right, take care.
Yep.
Hope everything goes well, and that is Mike Zuzulo from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, joining us on the Closing Market Report today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. AM 580 meteorologist Jay Searle says patches of clouds and sunshine for Illinois and Indiana, highs ranging from the lower 40s in the north to the lower 50s in the south today. Tonight, patches of clouds, but some clearing from northwest to southeast through the night. Overnight lows in the 20s in the north to the lower 30s in the south. Variably cloudy tomorrow, some areas of sunshine. Highs ranging from the lower 40s in the north to around 50 in southern Illinois and Indiana. And in agricultural news for today, the Senate adjourned last evening for its Thanksgiving recess without taking up the FY07 Agricultural Appropriations Bill, and that measure contains an amendment inserted earlier this year by Senator Byron Dorgan, Democrat of North Dakota, which would provide approximately $4 billion in disaster assistance to farmers, ranchers, and small businesses. That spending measure currently is the first item the Senate is scheduled to take up when it meets on Tuesday, December 5, and at that time, Senator Kent Conrad will offer an amendment that will replace Dorgan's earlier assistance package, which is said to provide some $4.5 billion. The amendment currently has 22 co-sponsors, and when it comes to the floor, fiscal conservatives are likely to raise a point of order about the measure, claiming that it identifies no spending offsets, items the agricultural budget would cut to provide that $4.5 billion. If a point of order is raised, Conrad, Dorgan, and other sponsors would need to rally 60 supporters to bring the amendment to a final vote. It's unclear at this point whether there are 60 votes in the Senate for that action. Unsatisfied with convergence in the soft red winter wheat futures contract, the Chicago Board of Trade is considering enlarging its delivery territory, changing the delivery instrument, and increasing storage rates, according to sources. Exchange officials asked CBOT traders and members of the wheat industry for their input on the possible modifications on its contract specification at a meeting yesterday. Participants said that no policy changes were announced, although the exchange said it would review input from the meeting when making future decisions. The topics for discussion were previewed on notices advertising the meeting. In interviews afterward, attendees told the Dow Jones Newswires that their opinions on the ideas varied greatly. A concern for many seemed to be the seemingly growing influence of index funds, which industry members said hurt convergence and liquidity. Convergence refers to the process by which the futures prices move toward cash prices, as well as the futures contract, or as the futures contract, that is, gets set to expire. Bank CEOs in agriculturally dependent non-urban areas of Illinois, Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming say that economic growth has reached its highest level since December of 2005. This comes out in a survey of data collected by Creighton University. The overall November index rose to 60.7. That was up from 54.4% in October. An index greater than 50 indicates growth. One below 50 signifies weakness. The Main Street Index. Data is gathered from community bank presidents and CEOs each month. The increase was attributed to high agricultural commodity prices by about 62% of the bankers surveyed. Dale Torpy, the president of Federation Bank in Washington, Iowa, said that he foresees the next 5 years as being very good economically in agriculturally dependent non-urban areas. And for today, that's a look at agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm Todd Gleason, away today at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, but joining you digitally. We'll continue today our series of reports on the 2007 Farm Bill debate and the WTO. As you'll hear, even if the World Trade Agreement on Agriculture fails completely, it and other trade agreements will still likely force changes in the 2007 version of the U.S. Farm Bill. NAFTA was written in the early 1990s. The North American Free Trade Agreement liberalized trade between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Its final stage of implementation goes into force January 1, 2008. And as much as any other agreement, finalized or not, Bob Thompson says NAFTA will force Congress to open rather than simply extend the current farm bill.
Now, there are several things that are going to have to change in the be changed in that next farm bill. One of those is our sugar program. January 1, 2008, the North American Free Trade Agreement is fully implemented, and on that date, Mexico will have full and unfettered access to the U.S. market for sugar exports with no limits. And our sugar program will become unsustainable on January 1, 2008. So there's going to have to be change in that. There are two other areas that the farm bill is going to have to be reopened in.
One of these, says the farm policy expert from the University of Illinois, is an adjustment to the cotton program. It is a direct result of the WTO ruling against the United States. The third, says Bob Thompson, also comes from the WTO, the organization's current rules on agriculture, written primarily by the United States and the European Union negotiators in the 1990s, forbids a government from limiting what crops can be planted on a piece of property or receiving a government subsidy, like a direct payment. Vegetable crop acres in the United States are not eligible for a direct payment. It was one of the compromises made in a previous farm bill to protect vegetable crop growers from competition. If the compromise goes away, Bob Thompson says those veggie growers will want a piece of the direct payment dollars in return.
We'll see how much or how that plays out. So we've got sugar, cotton, and the fruit and vegetable exclusion on direct payments that are all going to have to be addressed in the 2007 Farm Bill. So those who say don't reopen it, just extend the 2002 bill, that's impossible. It's got to be reopened. So once you've opened the door a crack, the only question is how wide is it going to be pushed open by all the other interests that are discussing a plethora of alternatives to the current programs.
Here's one thing the U of I's Bob Thompson does not think will change in the next farm bill. He says there will be a huge amount of rhetoric that farmers need to address the growing deficit. In the end, he believes the amount of money allocated to agriculture by Washington will not change. How it is distributed across the nation probably will. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, up next, did you know a disease nearly wiped out the nation's pumpkin processing industry in the late 1990s? That's when the U of I hired a specialist that solved the problem and saved your Thanksgiving pumpkin pie. Just before the turn of the century, Illinois nearly lost its pumpkin industry to a disease of the winter squash. That's about when the University of Illinois hired a pumpkin specialist, one who found a way around that disease. Mohammed Babadoust says the state is still a great place to produce processing pumpkin. Those are actually winter squash. And jack-o'-lanterns. Those are true pumpkins.
Because traditionally the environmental conditions are good and the soil type is good, and industry established here almost 50 years ago, and it is successful. That's why it's going on, and very profitable.
The gross value of the product from an acre of processing pumpkins is about $10,000. The farmer gets about $500 for the pumpkins he grows, but that's generally better than the gross profit from an acre of corn or soybeans. There are about 10,000 acres of processing pumpkins in the state of Illinois. Half of those acres are processed at Nestle's Libby Pumpkin Processing Plant in Morton. The other half go to a plant in Princeville. Both are very near Peoria. The Libby plant operates just 100 days out of the year, all in a row during the harvest season, which this year began August 1st. 90% of the pumpkins made into pumpkin pie filling are grown in the state of Illinois, says the U of I's Baba Doost.
Illinois is a leading state in the pumpkin production in the United States, both in processing pumpkins and jack-o'-lantern pumpkins. We grow more than 90% of the processing pumpkins. I would say almost solely processing pumpkins are grown in Illinois and processed in Illinois.
That's why the University of Illinois has Mohammed Baba Doost on staff and that others in the Department of Crop Sciences work on the crop, too. Each fall, they host a pumpkin field day. It rotates over 3 years from one end of the state to the other.
We do have current research. I do myself work on the disease management system. I do have research plots in Morton, Illinois, near Morton, Illinois, basically take care of the diseases of processing pumpkins. And I do have several research trials here in Champaign area taking care of other diseases, basically diseases of jack-o'-lantern pumpkins. But in addition, I do have a colleague who works with insect pests, and we do have colleagues work on weeds and weed management, variety trial, and mulching, and spacing, production. All sort of research going on pumpkin.
Research the nation is dependent upon in order for fall to be fall, with jack-o'-lanterns at Halloween and pumpkin pies at Thanksgiving. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
And from pumpkins to cash grains we go. Joining us now for the look at the cash grain markets today is Bruce Bostert of Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 70 Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon. I'm glad you did that comparison instead of comparing me to a jack-o'-lantern.
Gladly. Well, the jack-o'-lanterns are rotting on the porches now. It's time to eat the insides for the holidays coming up. And speaking of that, ahead of this shortened holiday week, how have things gone today?
It's been an interesting week. We've taken kind of a breath in the cash grain purchase pace this week. Things have slowed up. You know, a lot of the grain that came in at harvest has had their allocations. Most of that, by far the biggest chunk, I would say, has been sold rather than being stored this year. I'm hearing a lot of people in the 70% range. Elevators telling me that they're at 70% of their presumed handle being purchased already, so just a huge jump up. We'll probably be putting about twice as much money for January 1st payments this year than we did last year. What we did see moving this week was more corn than soybeans. A lot of the sales were for January or for new crop 07, so we've seen some interest out there again.
What kind of prices are the farmers looking at, and are they selling at current prices or holding out or what?
We have seen scale-up selling. There's just not all that much old crop, the stuff that just came out of the field a couple weeks ago, left to be priced right now. We're kind of in the tail end on that. We've seen scale-up selling on new crop corn, and a lot of trying to get a handle on just how good is good. It's awfully good right now, but how much more can they get out of it, I guess, is the question.
What do you expect for Monday morning in a shortened week?
Well, the problem you run into on these holiday weeks is just you can get some real volatile markets. You know, we've seen a lot of volatility in this thing anyway, but then you start taking more and more traders out of the mix. You can have it dead and do nothing, or if somebody comes in and wants to put any type of position on, you can just overreact because you don't have that liquid of a market. So you can have some wild weeks for holiday weekends.
All right. Well, we'll have a couple of days of fun next week. What are prices doing today?
Paxton corn right now is $3.49 and soybeans at $6.40.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thank you.
That is Bruce Bostert, and he is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. First, Jim Meadows joins us for AM 580 News.
Thank you, Jay, and here's a look at AM 580 News. The leader of efforts to keep Champaign-Urbana mass transit buses out of southwest Champaign says those efforts could resume in January. Champaign County Board Member Scott Tapley says County Board Chair Barb Wasaki has nominated candidates to serve on the board of the new Champaign Southwest Mass Transit District. Establishing that board would mean a lawsuit against the CUMTD could resume. The city attorney for Bloomington says the Central Illinois Regional Airport cannot exempt itself from the city's smoke-free ordinance. Airport commissioners voted last week to allow smoking at the airfield's Lone Eatery after new smoking bans take effect in Bloomington and Normal. But Bloomington City Attorney Todd Greenberg says state law doesn't permit that exemption. And he says the city has further control over the airport, or rather the airport restaurant, because its liquor license is regulated by Bloomington, not the airport. Airport Authority Chairman Paul Harmon says he'll recommend the airport abide by Bloomington's ban if its attorney agrees with Greenberg's opinion. Newly chosen Senate Assistant Majority Leader Dick Durbin says he has several ideas on his short list of legislative priorities for the new Congress. During a news conference today in St. Louis, the Illinois Democrat said he wants to raise the federal minimum wage for the first time in a decade and lower prescription drug prices for senior citizens. Durbin also says he hopes to make college more affordable by increasing Pell Grants and cutting interest rates on student loans. Governor Mitch Daniels is proposing a boost in Indiana's cigarette tax, with the proceeds going to health programs. Indiana House Democratic Leader Pat Bauer says it's a welcome start to discuss the broader issue of health affordability. Daniels suggests a tax hike of a quarter a pack. A magistrate has ruled there is probable cause to keep an Elkhart, Indiana woman in custody as prosecutors decide whether to file charges against her in the deaths of her four young children. The children were found suffocated in their basement Tuesday. The mother is hospitalized under police guard. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
I'm Jay Pierce. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580 for this Friday. And joining us now to take a look at agricultural weather, Steve Hilberg, director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Well, good talking to you. And I understand that, at least the words a patch of sunshine is in our forecast for the weekend from Jay Searles here in our weather office. Is that what you're looking at, too?
Yeah, it looks like things will finally calm down a bit weather-wise here in Illinois and much of the Midwest over the next, beginning this weekend and over the next week. We'll see some cold weather yet this weekend as another little disturbance pops through here and sort of reinforces it. In fact, wouldn't be surprised to see some snow flurries or maybe even a light dusting in some areas of eastern Illinois and western Indiana overnight Saturday night into Sunday. But that will be probably the last touches of winter we'll have for the next week or more. Looks like Thanksgiving week's going to be warming up to getting temperatures near to above normal by midweek, and we should have some dry weather and some sunshine. So it should be a nice week, and any of the producers that need to still get out and get some things finished up should get that opportunity over the next week to 10 days.
That sounds great. As you look into your crystal ball toward this winter, I know that they're constantly updating the longer-range forecasts into the winter. What's the latest that you see?
Well, the latest outlooks are just came out yesterday, I believe. Yesterday from the Climate Prediction Center, and they're basically sticking with their El Nino-like winter pattern, which generally puts a lot of warmer than normal weather in the west and upper Midwest and dry conditions throughout much of the region for the 3-month winter period. Again, there's so much at work here that trying to pin it on any one thing at this point is probably as usual, is always it's why it's called an outlook. It's sort of a probability at this point, and things can change. But right now, that's the trend that they're forecasting. But that's an average over the 3 months, and you can get a lot of variation in between then. So I think the jury is going to be out for a while.
Okay. Everybody here is worried about the weather tomorrow in Evanston, Illinois, I guess, as we wrap up the football season.
Well, it'll be your typical November day, probably. It'll be cool, but it should be dry, and there should be a little bit of sun with that next disturbance coming across. Probably some clouds increasing, but just bundle up.
All right. For anybody making the trip, have a safe drive. And thank you very much, Steve.
All right, Jay.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwest Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. And that is our closing market report for today. I'm Jay Pierce, in for Todd Gleason. Todd at the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Convention, from where he will be hosting Commodity Week this week. He's out in Kansas City. Don't forget, Commodity Week comes your way every Saturday morning at 11:30, and the podcast, as soon as we can get it up tonight. Maybe delayed a bit because you do have some amateurs working on that on this end. But nevertheless, we'll get it to you, and thanks for listening, as always.